Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is In Me We Trust. Now, there's only three kind of people, and you say, well, I don't agree with this. I understand, but you're not the one speaking. So there's three kind of people in the world. There are people who don't believe in Jesus. There are people who believe in Jesus and won't follow him, walk in the flesh. And there are people who believe in Jesus and walk in the Spirit and trust him. Now, which one are you? Which one are you? Well, I believe in God. Okay, that's a good start. The Bible says the demons in hell believe in God and tremble at his name. So now you and the demons agree on something. This is more than just believing that there's a God. This is more than a slogan. This is your life. Jump in here, Psalm 13:5. Psalm 13:5. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. So let me tell you something about that. There's a song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' what? Blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Now you say, well, why do you get emotional? I got nothing but that. I got nothing. Left to myself, it's hell. Left to myself, my life is going to be hell. So when a man writes this, but I have trusted in your mercy. Without God's mercy, I'm gone. My life is over. I would never have a shot. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. It's not my salvation. You say, but you're saved. But he's the one doing the saving. I can't save myself. So when you get desperate enough and you realize I can't live this life, and I've been where, and I was a Christian at the time, I did not know how to walk with God. God was kind, very merciful, and sent me help. But I did not know how to walk with God. So I knew if I died, I'd go to heaven. I just wished it would come soon because I didn't know how to do this down here. I didn't know he loved me. I just didn't know basic stuff. And I wanted out. I wanted to die. I didn't understand the package deal. And there are lots of people living this way. And if you ask them, do you trust God? They say, well, yeah, you know, I trust God. Well, how's your life working? Not so good. I've gone back to my old sins. My old ways, and it's killing me. And I'd just soon be in heaven than rot down here in my filth and my sin. And then God is merciful, and you cry out for help, and he sends you help. Psalm 32:10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Mercy again. Don't miss those first few phrases, those four words, though. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. So I'm assuming we got some wicked people in here. I have capacity for that. Maybe you're listening out there and your life's just wicked. You're evil. The thoughts of your heart are just continually to sin and to chase after evil. It's not going to go well. You say, well, it's going great. I'm happy and I'm having a big time. It's not going to go well. You die without Jesus. You're separated from God forever. And you live without Jesus here and it doesn't go well. I sit with too many people who are trying to do it on their own. And their motto is, in me we trust. I don't need God. I can do whatever I want to do. You can't stop me. Let me tell you something. I know someone who can stop you. And when he stops us, it is part of his mercy. It is his kindness, the scripture says. It is his gentleness that leads us to repentance. Where we say, I yield, uncle, father, I'm done. I tap out. Your way, not my way. Your will be done, not my will be done. Because my way doesn't work. Psalm 33:12. This is interesting, and I think in some ways this is one of my jerk-averse problems. 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And then I think there's a comma. You say, oh, there we go, it's America. That's not what it's talking about. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. So who did he pick in the Old Testament? The people of Israel. Those were his chosen people. We are not his chosen people as Americans, but as Christians we are. Now, I usually don't jump ahead, but go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It's in the book. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and then look at the next thing, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I am part of a holy nation. You say, well, who are its citizens? If you're a Christian, we are fellow citizens. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. I had a lady come in the office the other day, and she wanted to talk about something. Had found our church through a friend or something, and something was heavy on her. And usually the first place I start with people is to say, if you died right there in that chair, where would you go? And she didn't know. And I explained to her, I said, did you know you could know? And she said, you know, she wanted to hear about that. So in a matter of just no time, I explained to her that God loved her, that Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead, that eternal life was a gift, forgiveness was a gift. It was all free. It was all free. Today, special, free. And that today happens to be any day. And so you sit there and you look at somebody and the tears come, and all of a sudden she has a simple conversation with God and says, I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died for me on the cross, buried, raised from the dead, and I accept eternal life, forgiveness of my sins. Come live in me. And just like that, the woman saved. Like, what in the world? Psalm 37:4. Let's read some more of these. 37:4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, let me explain this. This is not where we are today, but just so there's clarification. You say, well, then God's going to give me whatever I want. That's not what this says. The first phrase is, delight yourself also in the Lord. So he is your delight. It's all about pleasing him. So you want to do whatever he wants to do. Then what happens? And he shall give you the desires of your heart. You say, well, it just says he's going to give me what I want. No, he's going to give you the desires that you desire. When you delight yourself in him, you stop desiring things you used to desire and start desiring things he desires for you to desire. And then he gives you those desires. He gives you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Everybody's looking for justice. Let me tell you something about justice. The phrase is, no justice, no peace. That's actually true. But the justice that you're looking for was achieved on a cross. And the only way you're going to get peace is because of the injustice that he suffered that got you mercy. So you say, well, I want justice. Go to God with your injustice. No, I'm going to do something. I'm going to fix this. Be careful being God. In me we trust. I'm tired of waiting for God. I am going to solve this problem my way now. And that has never gone well for any group of people. Now, this third group here is the In Me We Trust crew. So if you're not in the room, you're listening out there, and you've hung in here with me, and I try to do this gently. It's not going to go well. My bedside manner is getting terrible, okay? But please understand, I wouldn't even go through this stuff if I didn't love you and we didn't love you. We're trying to help. You say, well, I'm an atheist, okay? I'm trying to be respectful of that position, but let me read you what this is replete in Scripture. This is Psalm 14:1, if you want to go to this with me. And this is going to be tough, but just hang in there with me, even though I'm about to be saying some really, I'm just quoting him. This is not me being mean. This is God being mean if somebody's being mean. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. So you say, well, I'm an atheist. And the Scripture says, you are a fool. You say, well, I don't like that. You're really not going to like it. Someone never warned you about saying there's no God, and you end up in a real hell separated from a real God and going, why didn't somebody warn me about this? You're warned. You're warned. You say, well, I'm not an atheist. I'm an agnostic. Let me read you a definition of an agnostic. A person who believes that nothing is known or can be known of the existence or nature of God or anything beyond material phenomena. A person who claims neither faith nor disbelief in God. An agnostic. All right, here we go. Romans chapter 1. While you're turning to that, let me ask you some questions. If there is no God, or just no acknowledgement of God, who you got? You don't believe there's a God, you're not going to even acknowledge there might be a God. So who you got? Let me tell you who you got. You got you, which is no one. You're by yourself. And what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong? And you base your whole life, and we'll read about this in just a second. Well, I don't like what God's doing. If there is a God, why does he let all this happen? So I got questions with God. Let me tell you something. I got a lot of questions for God. I don't understand why he does certain things. I really don't understand why he allows other things. But let me tell you what my options are. I can either trust him or me. So it's either in me we trust or it's in God we trust. So my problem is I got nowhere else to go. I either trust him or I don't. Well, what about all the questions? I'll have to get them answered when I get there. But let me tell you what happens when you get there. There's a cosmic, oh, that's what it was. Because 1 Corinthians 13 says, now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now we know in part, but then we will know, even as also we are known, and we are known completely, we will know. Just like that. And if you will trust him and give up on this nonsense of agnostic and atheist, and say, okay, I'm going to make a run at this, then you'll get to heaven and go, wow, that was close. Wow, that was close. And by the way, if you say there's no God or you're just not going to get into all that, how's that working out for you? How's that working out for you? You got peace? I got peace. Doesn't make me better than you. I just got in on the free deal. You got joy? I'm happy. Really? Really? You know, living in sin always takes more, and sooner or later, there is no more. The only more is death. The only more is death. And by the way, that's what the enemy's plan is for everybody. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Pick a plan. Well, I'm happy the way I am. I don't know who you're convincing with that. You got to stay around unhappy people like you to convince each other that this is all how it's supposed to work. And then you meet somebody housing Jesus. Such an encouraging thing to me. Throughout the week, I'll meet somebody. I don't even have to ask a question. They don't even need a t-shirt that says Jesus on board. It's just so obvious. When the lights are on and the curtains are open, you don't have to convince anybody that the lights are on. Because when he lives in you and is allowed to live through you, he shines if you just get out of the way. So I'm going to make a run here to shut this down in Romans chapter 1. And this is not all going to be pleasant, but here it is. This is Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel. Jump down, verse 7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. So he's writing this to the saints. And he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means, not at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation, for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Good chance you'll never hear me preach without me mentioning this, that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and raised from the dead, because that's where you get the power. That is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe, to the Jew first, also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God, so you say, well, where's the wrath of God unleashed? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And look what the characteristics of unrighteousness and ungodliness of men. Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So if you're trying to put down the truth, put the truth away from you, a good place to do that is in unrighteousness, in sin. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. It's a comma there, but let me stop. You say, I'm an atheist, I'm an agnostic, I'm not sure there's a God, I don't believe there's a God. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, and I get this question all the time, what about the people, listen to me, what about the people who have never heard? They do not exist and they have never existed. There are no such people. You say, well, what do you mean there's no such people? They're without excuse. God says, I have declared my glory in my creation. You cannot look at this world and say, oh, it just happened. Like you just happened? What all the people have never heard? Let me tell you about the people who, quote unquote, have never heard. In the deepest, darkest jungle of wherever you want to put them, they look around. They look up. They see stars. They see the sun. They see the moon. They see birds, flowers, plants, food, fish, everything. And God reveals himself and says, that's me. That's me. That didn't just happen. And they go, I can't do this. So it's not me. Someone else had to have done this. You say, well, what happens if they seek for him? He finds them. He finds them. Well, how's he do that? You know what? You got to get off this thing worrying about how God's going to get his job done. He is not limited in his ability to get his job done. You go, how do you know that? Because he sent his own son down here to save us. So if he's got to come down here, he can come down here. Well, what if he doesn't come down here? He can send angels. He's done that before. Does that all the time. So you're saying there could be a tribe of people in the deepest, darkest jungles of wherever you want to put them, and they've never heard, but they start seeking for God. You know what? Angels can show up and preach the gospel to those people who get saved. Or you know one of the big ways he uses? Me, you. You wake up one day, you're sitting in a church service at a camp somewhere, and God says, you know what? You. They're thinking about me over there. They know I exist. I need somebody to go explain who it is they have come to understand exists. They believe in me, they just don't know my name, they don't know me, so you're going. Missionaries, evangelism, mission trips. And then you get there and they go, we knew there had to be something. And they're so grateful that somebody showed up. Keep reading. One more time, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they knew there was a God. They did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. So once you make that turn, you say, well, I'm not going to say there is a God. I'm not going to glorify him as God. And I'm not going to be thankful that there is a God. What do? Became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Just like that. You better be careful, however old you are, however young you are, when it occurs to you that there is a God and somebody somewhere starts to talk you out of it, you better say, get away from me. There has to be a God. And I am not going to end up this way. And look how downhill it goes, how quickly it goes downhill. Became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Welcome to the college campuses of our country. Bunch of idiots running these places. Be careful where you send your kids to school. It's dark. It's godless in many cases. And they are trying to talk your kids out of all of these things. And somebody will say, oh, you're getting political. You know what? You got to get off of this politics thing. Some things are just true. Has nothing to do with politics. Gosh, I'm getting my bedside manner shot. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And who are these fools that say there's no God? And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into what? an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. You know where this ends up? You start carving statues of his creation instead of worshiping the creator. That's how nuts it gets. I am not praying to some rock. I am not praying to a stump. And you say, well, how many millions of people? They can't all be wrong. I don't care if there's one or a billion. You're wrong when you're wrong. God is not some object that you can carve, that having ears cannot hear, having a mouth can't speak. And you're going to give yourself to that? You say, well, that's all they know. Well, then let's change that. Let's go give them something else. Let's give them the gospel. So they don't have to spend their lives bound to some piece of wood or rock or gold or whatever it is. You say, well, you're making light of that. I get that that's all they have. But listen gently and carefully to me. That is not all they have. They are without excuse. They bought the lie because God has revealed himself to us. And you take that turn and that's where you end up. You say, well, God shouldn't have done that to him. He didn't do anything to him. We choose these things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Now watch this, and this is not very popular and I'm gonna lose a lot of people, but bye-bye. Dishonor their bodies among themselves and exchange the truth of God for the lie. So God says, here's the truth. And someone else says, here's a lie. And you say, I believe I'll have some lie today. And that's the way you go. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And you think, amen, it's over. Keeps going. For this reason, because of all this, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. He said, well, dude, get off of this. We've passed laws. Let me tell you something. It ain't right. God did not create men to be with men, women to be with women. It's just basic plumbing. You don't need a brain to figure this out. You say, well, but they love each other. Men have affairs with women that they love. It's not right. I feel something. Okay. You go in a store. I feel like stealing that. Okay. You could end up in prison. Oh, but it felt so good. Yeah, it didn't work out so well. You can't back off of what the scripture says because this is where it ends up. And it all starts with saying what? There's no God and you're without excuse. And he turns you over, and this is where you end up.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. Or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning. You thought it was just homosexuality. Good luck. People read that far and go, whew, I'm not in the list. Just keep reading, you're in the list. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, un-everything, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So how's your in me we trust approach to life in America? Let's get him out of here. Get God out of here. Let me tell you something about God. You can't get him out of anywhere. He's everywhere. You can't breathe and not know there's a God. You can't go outside and not. You can't be inside. You can't be a blind person and not know there's a God. You're without excuse. So is this nation a little screwed up? Yeah. Is it making progress? Yeah. And you know how it's going to make more progress? We make progress. We don't just tack it on our lives. We say, okay, Lord, I trust you. I'll yield to you. I'll live my life for you. And I'm going to go out here and be salt and light. And I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel. And I'm going to live for you, and I'm going to let you love through me, and we're going to change the world. Well, what about all the injustice? Don't be a part of it. Call it out when you see it. Speak the truth in love. And then the last group, you say, well, I'm out. There's no God. Don't want to talk about it. You're going to want to talk about it. It's just going to be too late when you want to talk about it. You're going to want to talk about it. Because you'll end up in a real hell, separated from a loving God who you say, well, he didn't try hard enough. Let me tell you something. You send your only son down here to die on a cross. He who knew no sin literally became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He's got nothing to give you. He's given it all, and it's all free.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.